It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, following along with the Met game, and they just got called for a balk to put a runner in scoring position that, I don't know. I'm watching the game while doing the show that looked like a pretty ticky-tacky balk on not coming to a complete set that I think I've seen a million times. But a deep shot to... Oof. Oh, and Kiki Hernandez waving goodbye. Kiki Hernandez, this guy is just, he's a postseason performer. He takes a hanging breaking ball from Reed Garrett and distributes it to left center field for a two-run home run, 378 feet. Is that a breaking ball or just a high changeup? Kiki Hernandez takes it deep, just over the outleaping stretch of Brandon Nimmo, and then he waving to the crowd. Oh, 4-0 Dodgers as Kiki Hernandez hits a two-run bomb. This guy's been so good. He's been money for them in the postseason. He's one of those players. He's one of those guys. He's fam, right? He's fam. Otani kind of grimaces like he might be hurt, but that's a big home run. That changes the game dramatically. Top of the sixth, 4-0 Dodgers. 2-0 is one thing. Now they've got a four-run deficit here against the Dodgers. That's a devastating home run for the Mets. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Kevin in Newark. What's up, Kevin? Kevin, you still there?
Hey, how you doing, man? Oh, man, devastated right now. I haven't met.
Yeah, that's a tough home run. Kiki Hernandez gives them a four-run lead, yeah.
Wow, I thought it was going to be a gentleman's sweep for the Mets, man. But unfortunately not.
Well, listen, we don't know. The game isn't over, Kev. You're down four runs. You've come back from more dire straits than this.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But, you know, the Dodgers are the Dodgers, man. We can't take that away from them.
No, you can't take who they are away from them. No, that is true. But again, the Dodgers are the Dodgers. Their bullpen isn't unbelievable. The Mets have had a postseason of just heroic comebacks. Otani keeps hitting it off himself. Hit him in the foot. Now he hit him, you know, where it hurts the most. Otani does have a little bit of that flailing swing in his game, though. I'll tell you that, man. They've kept him off balance a lot. He's hitting himself in the hip trying to tell himself to stay in because he is out there flailing at some pitches.
Where's the most uncomfortable place you ever made whoopee?
Well, that's a story that was a newlywed game. That's not me just asking that question. That was a famous newlywed clip.
Don't give it to context.
Yeah, of course I have to. You're making me sound silly. No, I'm just kidding. Otani looks awful to play. Strikeout of Otani, and that ends the inning. But the damage has been done. Kiki Hernandez, Mr. Postseason. Deposits a two-run home run to left center field, and the Dodgers take a 4-0 lead and gets a sunflower seed shower in the Dodger dugout. Let's go to Glenn in Springfield. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, Chris, how are you, buddy?
Good, how are you, buddy?
I was going to talk about... I'm okay. The Giants, that was some sick news today with Thomas there.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of news that makes me...
It really put a damper on the season if it wasn't already.
It certainly does.
Now, with the quarterback, I know how you feel about Jones. I'm not too fond on him either. I know Brett from Long Island's going to call you maybe, or who knows, but where are we going with this, with Jones? You think they're going to get rid of him?
I don't know about you. You mean like right now get rid of him?
No. At the end of the year.
I do not think he's going to be the Giant quarterback next year, no. The only way he's the Giant quarterback next year is if he gets hurt this year. Because then the contract.
I knew that. That's what you were saying before with the injury. God forbid, a season-ending injury.
Right.
But where would you go?
I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I would try and get a quarterback in the draft. If I can't do that, then you sign a veteran quarterback. You do what Minnesota did, theoretically, right? Minnesota drafted a kid later in the draft, picked up Sam Darnold for lesser money, and went out there, and Sam Darnold's played well, and they've got, you know, J.J. McCarthy waiting in the wings. That's, you go draft a quarterback and or sign a veteran guy who's not going to cost you the $21 million Daniel Jones cost you. And take your chances with, you know, a guy like that, because that's, you know, where the Giants are. I do not think they would trade for Stafford. I just don't. I think they're going to be more teams motivated to trade for Stafford. You know, if a quarterback shakes free, a veteran quarterback shakes free, if it doesn't go well in Atlanta and they decide to go to, you know, the quarterback they drafted and move on from Cousins, could you see that contract? You know, I don't know the contract situation there, but like something like that. But I don't think it's going to be Daniel Jones. I don't think it's going to be Daniel Jones, especially, you know, if they continue to play like this. Like, it's just, even if he shows some ability, it doesn't make any sense. It's too much money to lose. Like, and they were ready to move on from him. Today, this is the kind of news I'm telling you right now. The Brets of Long Island are going to be mad at me, because if they lose to the Eagles on Sunday, Monday it's Tank City. That's where I'm at. If they do not beat Philadelphia, and the offensive line looks like it took a hit by losing Andrew Thomas, and he's getting sacked, and they don't win, and the offense doesn't put up points, and they don't score touchdowns, and the same crap that happens to this team, especially in this building against Philadelphia, happens again, and they can't get in the end zone, and they can't figure this out, and they can't score points, season's over at 2-5, winless inside the division, having lost to Washington, having lost to Dallas, having lost now to Philadelphia, the season's over. And it's in the best interest of the New York Giants to no longer play Daniel Jones, and it's in the best interest of the New York Giants to not win any more football games. They won't do it, but that's what I'll be calling for, because that's the only thing left. Jarvis in Harlem. What's up, Jarvis?
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine.
That's good.
Well, I was just wanting to talk about the Yankees. You know, like most... You know, these Yankee haters talking about, like, oh, they play against the AL Central, like the Royals and the Cleveland Indians, like that. Like, it doesn't mean anything, because at least we don't have to play the Astros and the Orioles, because the Astros, given Yankee fits in the ALCS, beating them 8 times in the ALCS. But, you know, so I'm happy with that. We 2-0, because, you know, we got 2 more wins away to win the World Series. So I'm happy with that.
Of course, Jarvis. But that's we got to be happy with it. And let's be fair. Like, the Astros had their chance. The Astros could have been in this series. They lost. They lost to the Tigers, who weren't good enough to beat the Guardians. The Orioles had a chance to play the Yankees in the ALDS. They got swept at home in a 3-game series. They lost 2 straight games to the Royals. That's on them. Why weren't they good enough to win that series? Why weren't they good enough to win a playoff game? Last year, 101 wins. Nothing in the postseason. Couldn't win a game. That's on them. All the Yankees can do is play the teams in front of them. And the teams in front of them won. You want to say over the course of the regular season they wouldn't even be there if not for the White Sox? That's true. But they won the playoff series. They won. They're here because of what they've done already prior to facing the Yankees. And some of the disingenuous stuff from the haters, like, you know, someone mentioned Sal before. Sal puts out a tweet, oh, you know, people are underlooking the Cleveland Guardians. They're a spunky team, and I could easily see them winning the series. Now, they're a joke, and it's a laughable thing that the Yankees are 2 games up. Of course. Hey, You know, Reagan's is a Cy Young candidate. Seth Lugo dominated against him the last time. You've got the runner-up MVP who could possibly be the MVP in, you know, in Bobby Witt Jr. This is not going to be an easy matchup. Then they win 3 out of 4, and it's like, it's the Royals.
Yankees should lose. That's what they should do.
Yeah. The Yankees have been not perfect, but good enough to win. And they were built better than these teams. Brian Cashman deserves credit. Aaron Boone deserves credit. Jay in Deer Park. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, good. Thank you. First off, I like to premise this with the fact that I'm usually a Boone and Cashman defender with my friends, families, coworkers, whatnot. But I don't understand why Boone would put Weaver in with a 4-run lead last night when Weaver's pitched every game of the playoffs so far. Wouldn't you want to give him, you know, a little bit of a rest with a 4-run lead and not a save situation?
While I agree with you, and if I were the manager, I probably would have went to Hamilton there and seen if I can get Hamilton through the ninth inning and not have to, for many reasons. One, give him a break. You're right. He's pitched in every game in the series. Also, the idea that if you go back to the 2019 ALCS against the Houston Astros, by the end of that series, they had seen the top-end relievers of the Yankee bullpen so many times that they just got comfortable in those at-bats. I didn't need Ramirez to see Weaver in that game last night. I don't even care that he hit a home run. I just don't want him seeing the pitches. Now, not only does he hit a home run, and he feels confident against Weaver, and I'm sure that's another spot that's going to come up. So I agree with you. I would have tried to go another way. Having said that, I want to win the game. And they did have they do have a day off today, obviously, and he wasn't messing around. And we've talked about urgency and the lack of it from the New York Yankees so much. The manager showed urgency. He wasn't going to mess around even with a 4-run lead, and he was going to make sure that they got this game too. And not if he puts in Hamilton, who hasn't pitched that much, and Hamilton walks two guys, now all of a sudden you got to bring in Weaver with runners on in a tight situation. So I understood it. I would have gone the way you went. I would have trusted a different guy with a 4-run lead. But ultimately, I can't kill the manager for making sure he secured a victory.
Right. Okay. Got it.
So that's how I feel about it. I disagree, but I can't kill him for it. I would have tried to given him an extra day off. He's pitched multiple outs in these games, too. Like, it's not just he's pitched in all the games and he's pitched an inning. He's pitched 5, 6 outs. So I could have easily given him some time off without question. But the manager wanted to make sure he won. The manager didn't want to mess around. And by the way, let me say it again for those of you who haven't heard me say it, if you haven't been listening. Aaron Boone has been the best manager in this postseason. Nobody has done a better job than Aaron Boone. Every single decision he's made, think about what he's done. Think about what he did leading into the postseason with Clay Holmes. The faith he continued to show in Clay Holmes. Bringing the fan base is killing him. Why are you bringing in Clay Holmes into these tight games? He's still blowing saves. He's not even the closer. He's still blowing saves. And that's the other thing. Can I say this for a second to Yankee fans? The Yankee haters who can't take L's and the Yankee haters who still want to get on Aaron Boone. I don't want to hear, hey, we were right. All we said was take Clay Holmes out of the closer role. BS. I took call after call. Even he blew 2 saves after getting taken out of the closer role, and everybody wanted him off the team, didn't want him on the postseason roster. It wasn't just like, hey, we like Clay Holmes. We love Clay Holmes. He's just not a closer. Pitch him in the 6th inning. Pitch him in the 7th inning. That'll be fine. Nonsense. That's not what was being said. Get Clay Holmes the hell out of here and don't put him anywhere near a tight game. That's what you said.
Why is Boone still putting him in the 8th inning, high leverage situation games?
Oh, killing him. Don't say, oh, hey, we were right. We just didn't want him as the closer. Bull crap. You didn't want anything to do with Clay Holmes anymore. You were done with him. And Aaron Boone still forced him in there because he knew they would need him. And right now, you could argue he's been their most important pitcher, even more than Weaver. He's come in every single situation he's come into. It's been with a runner on third, tying run. The closer, the starter is losing it. You have to bring in Clay Holmes. Runners on, less than 2 outs, need a double play, tying run on base, every single spot. And he's been pitch perfect. He's been great. He's been their most important pitcher. That's the manager. Aaron Boone did that. He's been unbelievable. What he's done at first base with navigating between Birdie and Cabrera and then having the, you know, going back to Rizzo even with broken fingers. What he's how sticking with Verdugo's been the right call. All of his bullpen decisions. Aaron Boone's been great in this postseason. Great. And so, yeah, don't tell me you knew Clay Holmes. And here's the other thing that makes me laugh. You see, he just couldn't be a closer. Are you telling me? Like, and this is to those guys, too. It had nothing to do with the ninth inning. It really doesn't. Clay Holmes couldn't handle the pressure of getting the last three outs of a game in July against the Oakland A's or whatever. But he can handle the pressure of coming in the sixth inning with the tying run on third, facing the MVP runner-up. That situation, the pressure's fine. It's the ninth inning that he really struggles in. If Clay Holmes was brought into the ninth inning right now, he'd get the job done. He trusts himself, and he's throwing that sinker almost exclusively. He's had enough of the slider. He's making his pitch. He has confidence in that sinker, and that's the reason. Not because he's not pitching in the ninth, not because he's not the closer. He's come into every bit of as pressure situation as the ninth inning. He's come in with the game on the line every single game. This isn't about the ninth inning. Clay Holmes has found himself. He's trust that sinker, and he's pitching better because the manager showed faith in him. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back. Take your phone calls as the Mets spoil a rally. As J.D. Martinez walked after a Marte single, and Jose Iglesias, Mr. OMG himself, bounces into a double play to end the rally. And I'm seeing a lot. Look, I heard Evan talking about playing J.D. Martinez and what a mistake it was to not go to Winker. And I'm still seeing a bunch of stuff online now about what a decision, what a terrible decision. It's cost the Mets here. Martinez is 0-for-1 with two walks. Like, I'm not, again, yeah, you'd like him to do more than that, and I'm sure Winker, I'm not saying it was the right decision because he's got on base twice, but I'm still seeing people, and again, I'm kind of watching the game, I'm kind of talking Yanks and football and taking calls. He's walked twice. Why are we still so angry about that decision? Let me know, Met fans. What still angers you? It's not like he's 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. Then you go, wow, clearly he's killing them. He's been on base 2 out of 3 times. And he walked in front of Iglesias, and Iglesias hit into a double play. And now they head to the top of the 7th, 4-0 Dodgers, Game 3 of the NLCS. McMonagle here with you. We're talking Yanks right now because they already have a 2-game lead. They already got that second win in their back pocket as they head to Cleveland tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock, to take on the Cleveland Guardians and try and take a 3-games-to-none lead, which in a 7-game series we know is insurmountable. Never happened before, right? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. All right. 12:26. 10:26. These hours, I'm just not used to saying the number 10. I don't say it. I never say it. But I'm saying it now as we're on our 5-hour ride to midnight. Got you for another hour and a half, taking you till midnight. Dodgers Mets, 4-0 Dodgers, top of the 7th. Big spot here. 2 outs, runners at 2nd and 3rd. Gavin Lux up. Tyler McGill in the game, pitching for the Mets. Big spot. This game is still in reach at 4-0. Base hit makes it 6-0. And even the heroics of the New York Mets feels like that might just fall short a bit. This is a big spot in the game. But you know, we've been praising Aaron Boone. I just saw something. I've been praising because I think he deserves it. I think Aaron Boone's been the best manager in the postseason. Every decision he's made has been the right one. I think he has shaped this bullpen down the stretch into a force. And I think he's got the New York Yankees, despite not coming through with big hits. Like, it'd be one thing if they were pounding out these games. They're not. He has to make the right decision at the right time. He's got to pull the right strings with the bullpen every single night, and he has been. Aaron Boone's done an incredible job. He also did an incredible job on this day, 21 years ago, on this very night, with Tim Wakefield, the great late Tim Wakefield on the mound. Aaron Boone had one of my great memories in sports history with this home run.
In the 8th inning, leading by 3, as Boone hits it to deep left. the Yankees to the World Series. Burn a hero in Game 7.
That was it. And now he's getting ready to take the Yankees back to the World Series. And that was a very special moment for me. That was the year, that was the first year I lost my father that summer. My dad died in July of that year, 2003. And that was the first real playoff run that I had without my father. And that whole run was emotional. It was for me. Trying to live, you know, every year prior to that, I had my dad sit next to me watching all the games. And that home run, I told Craig, and he started to make fun of me and didn't realize why. He was like, "Have you ever cried at a sporting event?" I remember his face, too. It was funny. I got him so good. He was like, "You ever cried at a sporting event? Tell me you wouldn't cry at a sporting event." I said, "Yeah, I cried when Aaron Boone hit the home run." And he was like, "You cried?" And he was like laying into me. I'm like, "Yeah, well, you know, I lost my dad that year, and it was the first playoff run, Yankee playoff run without him." He's like, "You son of a, how could you let me, you know, yeah, well, you should have thought before speaking." But that moment was special for me, and now I'm watching this man lead the Yankees back to the World Series, and I'm not kidding. As much as any one player, Aaron Boone has been as impactful in this series and has done that good of a job where he deserves a lot of credit. And he's deserved blame for plenty before. Like, you know, the 2020, the disgusting decision to start Debbie Garcia and then bring in Jay Happ was ridiculous. He's had plenty of reasons to get on him. Right now, he's pitching a perfect game in this postseason. He's been great, and they're two wins away from the World Series. And the Mets head to the bottom of the seventh, still only down 4-0. As McGill strikes out Gavin Lux on a check swing in the dirt that was called by the third base umpire, a swing. They move on. They're coming up to the bottom of the seventh inning, down 4 runs. They need a little magic. And let's see if they get it. Steve, let's get back to the call. Steve in Newark. What's up, Steve? Steve, you there? Steve, don't be that guy. Nobody likes that guy, Steve. You there? Okay. You bet you're that guy? Nothing I can... I'll put you back on hold, Steve. Mike in Jersey City. What's up, Mike?
Mike. Chris, what's up, man?
Oh, Mike, thank you. I haven't heard one in a while. One of my favorite things.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
How you doing?
I love it when the caller calls me by their name. I love it. I don't know why it happens so often, but it does.
Oh, God, man. I'm sorry about that. Hey,
I love it.
I had a lot to unpack while I was on hold. I got a question for you. You been to any Yankee games, playoff games, or no?
This run? Or
yeah,
just
yeah.
ever?
No, this run.
No, I have not. I have not been able to make it to any of the playoff games. And I don't think they're going to come back in this series. So unless I'm going to the World Series, I guess this year I'm going to miss it. But I like watching from my couch. I like watching from this studio. I like pacing the floor.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I don't blame. Anyways, my reason for my call is, dude, I watch Ohtani. Like, I can't stand that guy's face. Like, I want him to be a Yankee, but, like, he's just
well,
like,
he's never going to be a Yankee.
He's just worry. Like, he's a little baby. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Come on.
What'd he do?
He's just a baby, you know? Like, he was with this pitch that he apparently got hit by just a few minutes ago in the Mets game. He tried selling, getting hit by a pitch. I'm like, dude, you didn't get hit by a pitch. Like,
yeah,
come on, man.
I saw him get hit on a swing and a foul ball into his, you know, his privates, which is never fun. And I saw him hit one off his foot. Like, I don't remember. I was watching the at-bat. I don't remember him trying to sell getting hit by a pitch. I remember him struggling getting hit after a foul ball. Ohtani's not a baby. Ohtani's, you know, whatever. You don't have to like him. Do you? He's the greatest baseball player who's ever lived. So, there's that. I mean, and again, I know he hasn't had the career. I don't want to get back into this conversation. But he is the greatest baseball player to ever live. When he's pitching and hitting, like last year he led the league. You know, he led the league in home runs, and he was the hardest pitcher to get a hit off of in all of Major League Baseball. Like, When you do both of those things, that's, you know, at the moment, no one's ever played the game of baseball as good as that. Brian in West Palm. What's up, Brian?
How you doing? I grew up in Westbury. I played baseball for the Dick Houser at FSU.
Okay.
The base running for the Yankees is horrible. I can't believe that it's allowed that Boone puts up with this. Look at what Chisholm did yesterday. I mean, that's like ridiculous. Come on, dude.
He tried to get a good jump on a double steal and got caught off second base.
Yeah, but the base run, even like Gleyber Torres during the season, horrible base running. You know, come on. Also, touching base with tomorrow's game. I always liked Clark Schmidt when he went down. I think Clark Schmidt's going to pitch great tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. But the base running really hasn't hurt them that much yet. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I think Volpe scoring from first on that base hit from Rizzo was excellent base running. So
yeah, no, I understand that. I'm a baseball player. I played, 4 years in college. I played big time baseball. My high school in Westbury, one of the best baseball programs in the United States. Also touching on the Giants D is pretty darn good, and the offensive line's good. But I don't think Jones is a starting quarterback. I see the Giants getting another quarterback in the draft or trading for somebody.
Yeah.
He's missing easy throws, down and out. You know what I'm saying? He's missing secondary receivers, and he's overthrowing them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no excuse.
No, I don't disagree. I think he's probably a starting quarterback in this league. I do think he's at least that. I don't think he's a big-time winning quarterback. I don't think you win a Super Bowl with him unless you put around him just an unbelievable team. I mean, Alvarez is completely lost. Alvarez just took a breaking ball strike three right down the middle. He's in his head. He's thinking. He's guessing. He has been atrocious. Alvarez is absolutely killing them. He looks terrible at the plate. This is a breaking ball that it's down the middle. He's absolutely guessing. He's in his head. Alvarez has been terrible. Two outs in the bottom of the seventh. He's just been bad. Watching him is this is a guy who has had the moment, has had the propensity for being big in the big moment. He has throughout his career. He is just absolutely awful right now. He just took a pitch you can't take with two strikes. I mean, it is right down the pipe. I can't imagine that was the kind of pitch that he intended to throw. It was a breaking ball right down the middle. Lindor follows suit with a strikeout, swinging at a breaking ball in the dirt. And we head to the eighth inning. The Mets offensively have done pretty much nothing. They have four hits. They've had really one opportunity, one rally in this game where they had a chance to come through and were unable to. Big double play from Iglesias with first and second and two outs. Scared me there. The offense has done nothing in this game. They had a couple opportunities and really squandered them early on. What was it? Bases loaded in the second inning, right? Martinez walked. Iglesias reached on an infield single, and then Taylor walked. And with the bases loaded, Alvarez struck out, Lindor struck out in the bottom of the second. Then they had another inning where they had first and second, and Iglesias hits into the double play. Like, that's about it. Just trying to keep an eye on this game. They have really done next to nothing offensively in this game. And Alvarez, we can scream all we want about J.D. Martinez. Alvarez is the one who's really killed them in this game. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back. Continue to take your phone calls right here on The Fan.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, start some trouble. I don't know what trouble you're going to start, but you can come on and say something dumb and get yelled at. Love doing that. 888-808-1019. 10:44 in the evening, in the PM.
I'm stupid.
I am stupid. And, you know, all this talk about the Yankees and Mets and their ability to win a championship and break the streak of New York. Well, right now, the Liberty are now one win away from becoming WNBA champions as Sabrina Ionescu hit a game-winning. The game was tied at 77. With 1 second left, she takes a pullback three-pointer from damn near half court. I mean, that is a Curry game-winning shot.
Yeah, the Liberty were losing, I think, by 15 points, I read.
Were they?
Yeah, early on they were losing. I went out into the newsroom, saw that they were losing, became a little deflated. I went to game one, actually.
You did. C-Mac.
Went to game one of the WNBA Finals, in which the Liberty had an 18-point lead.
I know.
And blew it. So, yes. Cool. Nice. Liberty have won game two and game three. Bring it on home, girls.
Yep. And just with 1 second left, an amazing game winning. Just a great, incredible shot. It's an incredible shot. That's a signature moment for her in her career. It's a signature moment for this team. And certainly one where if they win the championship, that's a moment and a shot that will be remembered forever.
First, it would be the first one in franchise history.
Yeah, I remember when Witherspoon, I don't know how old you are, do you remember Witherspoon hitting that miracle shot to prolong the WNBA Finals? I think it was like the first or second year.
Can't say that I remember it, but
no?
I do recall the stories, yes.
Yes, I remember.
I do believe I am as old as the WNBA.
Yeah. I know you mentioned, what was your first Yankee memory?
Well, my first Yankee memory would probably be first Yankee memory is Derek Jeter dislocating his shoulder in Toronto. I believe that was the 2003 season. The
wow,
opening,
look at you, yeah.
Opening series of the 2003 season.
Yep.
So that was my first Yankee memory. In and out, 2003 World Series, but that 2004 ALCS is really ingrained into my mind.
Sure.
And, my dad had the harsh realization last night that was not about 10 years ago, that was actually 20 years ago.
20
now.
Years ago. It's crazy how time flies. Yeah, that was crazy.
This stinks, dude. Growing up stinks.
It does stink. It does stink getting older. Oh, they're calling it a home run. Right down the line. Shohei Ohtani with a three-run bomb.
I mean, I think LaGuardia's flight trackers were able to pick up that baseball.
That
took forever to get down.
That was a bomb, and it was right down the line. It's impossible to tell if it was fair or foul.
410, 116 exit velo. 410 doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't. That was an absolute bomb. Shohei Ohtani takes a McGill inside fastball and just uppercuts the hell out of it and sends it flying deep into the night. And he knows it. He looks back at the dugout. He knows it. He could tell. He gives it one little look and a lean to see if it's fair or foul. I mean, that is right down the line. And yeah, you could tell it's fair.
Where is that? The Pepsi corner? Do they
still call
that?
The Pepsi porch?
Yeah.
And do you know the Mets are the only team in baseball that have a non-yellow foul, fair foul pole? It's orange. Every other ballpark in the league has a yellow foul pole.
I thought Houston also...
I thought I heard that it was doing. They looked at it and it's confirmed. 3-run home run. The Los Angeles Dodgers take a 7-0 lead in the top of the 8th inning of Game 3. And as much as this Met team has shown heroics, and as much as this Met team continues to bounce back, you would have to imagine this one's in bad shape. That's not me. I don't push the buttons. Don't get mad at me. They're going to have to turn around and figure out a way to win game four and even up this series. But the Dodgers take a two-game... I shouldn't say that. Let's not get too much. Right now, 7-0. It looks like the Dodgers will take a 2-1 lead. They have a 7-0 lead here in the eighth inning. Ohtani just hit a 3-run home run to break the game wide open. And the Mets are probably going to have to turn their attention to a game 4 must win against the Dodgers tomorrow night. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mark in Bayside. What's up, Mark?
Oh, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you?
Hey, great. It's been a long time. We've talked in the past. I just have difficulty sometimes because you're on late, but tonight you're on earlier.
No, thank you for giving me. Yeah, listen, I understand. I know when I'm on.
And I want you to know, I do listen. Sometimes I get up in the middle of the night. I put you on, and I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I've talked about them with you going way back. I saw my first World Series game in 1976, believe it or not. This will make you laugh. I got to tell you this. I bought a ticket from a scalper for $20. I saw a game, I think it was game 3, Yankees and Reds. I went to game 3, 4, and 5 of the 78 World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a game 1 of the 81 World Series. I was at game 6 of the 96 World Series. And a friend of mine offered me a ticket to game 5 of the 2000 World Series, which to me, it's a treasure. Not just that I went to all these games as a diehard Yankee fan, but the fact that I was at the game 5. But my all-time favorite memory is 96. It was extra special. But what I want to tell you, I want to talk about the current team, but also I want to tell you, the Yankees make me young. I'm proud to say that I'm 68 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I'm 28 years old. And what makes me still retain my youth in my mind is the fact that the game of baseball, I love it so much. It makes me feel great. I've been waiting 15 long years for the Yankees to win. And I have a New York Yankees championship jacket that I think Modell's came out with it, you know, after the Yankees won in 2009. And believe me, I'd be happy to get one that says 2024 on it.
I mean, of course, Mark. Of course. You want to continue to win. And you were going to say something about the relief pitching. The relief pitching has been their strongest unit. Right now, the back end of this bullpen, you got Holmes, you got Hill, you've got Canely, and you've got Weaver. And, you know, you feel pretty good about Hamilton. Like, and Cousins was one of the guys heading into, before he got hurt, he was one of the guys you had the most faith in. That slider was good. I mean, right now, I feel pretty good about whoever they throw in that bullpen right now, other than, you know, Mesa. Everybody else, I feel pretty good from where this bullpen was. And despite the fact that Brian Cashman didn't do anything to help it at the trade deadline. They traded for 2 relief pitchers. One's not good enough to make the playoff roster, and the other one's already cut. And still, the bullpen is in great shape. Feel great about it. It's really remarkable. James in Floral Park. What's up, James?
Yo, what's up, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy?
Yo, can I just give one shout-out before I do anything or not?
Yeah, sure, real quick. What's up? What do you got?
All right, my daughter, she's pretty lit. So she's about to be 6 years old in January, and she's pretty awesome. Charlotte Lynch, you know what it is.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand a word you said. What about your daughter?
Charlotte Lynch. Hey, what's up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, hey, Charlotte. That's awesome. I thought you were saying something about her birthday or something. No, just, hey, you there, James? I'm going to give you another chance. Just be careful about the language.
No, she goes to all the stadiums.
Okay.
She loves it.
Good.
What do you think about the Mets and Yankees about to go into a collision course together?
Well, right now they're going to be down 2-1. So the collision course seems a lot less likely than it did just 2 hours ago. It doesn't mean it won't happen, but right now they're going to be down 2-1 against the Los Angeles Dodgers because they just took a 7-0 lead. And we'll see what comes back. This Met team has been so resilient that you could never count them out, but that's a tough one. Ted in Belrose. What's up, Ted?
Hey, Mac. Well, what's going up is I'm having a little indigestion here, but let's put it this way. This team has always fought and come back.
Yep.
So, you know, this is no different than after game one. However, you may agree with me or not, Alvarez is about as liable right now as a freaking crook who probably could get caught. I mean, you know, that's how bad. I don't know what.
Yeah,
you know, our catcher actually.
Yeah,
and
he's been awful.
And Nimmo, unfortunately, is an injury liability. So, tell me if you think this makes sense. I'd have Winker playing in left field tomorrow night for Nimmo, and I'd have the backup catcher, and I forgot the kid's name, and I would shit Alvarez, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you could definitely play Terenz. You absolutely could. He's been that bad. You got to put Winker in there at DH. I know J.D. Martinez walked twice in this game, but he doesn't have an extra post. He doesn't have an extra base hit in the postseason. Winker's given them some, you know, moments here. Nimmo is tougher. Now, if he's hobbled and he can't play, that's one thing. He did get a base hit in the first inning of this game. I like him as kind of a catalyst for this team. I think he's important to this team. But if he's hobbled, then you got to do what you got to do. I don't know. But this offense has done nothing. I just saw Evan tweet they've scored one run in the last 13 innings. They've been completely shut down after the big explosion of the solo leadoff home run from Lindor and the grand slam from Vientos. They haven't done much since. And in this game, they've had two, if you want to call them rallies. They had the bases loaded with one out in the second, and they got strikeout from Alvarez and Lindor. And then they had first and second with one out and Iglesias hit into an inning-ending double play. Like, other than that, they have not really mustered much of a rally or done anything offensively in this game at all. And this team has been resilient, and the offense, like, and the Dodgers are pitching. You know, Buehler got lit up in his last start. They're throwing bullpen games at you. This offense has got to be better. We could talk about Severino. Severino gave up two runs. They went to McGill. I know Reed Garrett gives up a two-run home run, and McGill gives up a three-run home run. Like, I understand they're going to give up seven runs here. It's the offense that lost them this game. They did absolutely nothing. 888-808-1019. We'll come back, finish up with the last hour of this five-hour ride to midnight, taking your phone calls. Met fans, if you've already turned off the game, if you're already frustrated, give me a call. We'll talk it through. I was watching the game as best I could. I have a good feel for it. So, it's not that hard. The offense did nothing. Severino was shaky but battled through five. Reed Garrett made a bad pitch on a hanging breaking ball or a hanging changeup to Kiki Hernandez, and one of the best hitters and the MVP of the league took you for a three-run home run against McGill. Ultimately, the offense did nothing. You've got a real problem with Alvarez, and the Mets are going to be forced to bounce back in Game 4. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll be coming back and taking your phone calls all the way in midnight. We'll be right back. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.